You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Saturday evening, May the 9th, you are tuned in to another live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. Over 10 years now and growing strong. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander here with me for another half hour before we transition into what will be a variety program for the remainder of the evening. Winston Smith and Courtney from Alabama will be discussing traditional gender roles later this hour. And then in the third hour, our featured interview of the night, Dr. Kevin McDonald on live this evening with us to discuss what's wrong with white people. It's a loaded question, and he'll give us the answer. All of that coming up. It was a solid first hour, if I do say so myself, thanks to Scoop Stanton and a clip we played from Jared Taylor, during which he addressed the mob rule in Baltimore. Keith and I had a say in the first hour as well. And we will continue with that now. Keith has a story here that he's brought in entitled Huge Layoffs at Call Center. Here's the scoop. A year after starting up a call center that promised 1,000 jobs in Memphis, Conduit Global on Wednesday told its employees that about 590 of them will be laid off for lack of work. The company has a workforce of just under 700 at its Memphis operations. After the layoffs planned to go into effect on July 2nd, the Conduit Global Call Center will have about 70 workers left. It's unfortunate news, obviously, for the people affected, said one of the men in charge. They handled it extremely well today in a difficult situation. So once again, showing how strong the workforce is in Memphis, and we'll do our best to help them find and secure work after our work is done. Keith, that's the story. If you can grab a mic and put on your headset. You know, the show must go on. All right, so why aren't we talking about layoffs at a call center here in Memphis?
Well, again, this is a Memphis story. This is a story that you won't hear if you live in Astoria, Washington, Portland, Maine, or, let's say, Rochester, Minnesota.
I just now saw that there was actually more to the story that I didn't read on
the
second. Should I finish it?
Yeah,
okay, so here's the rest of the story. In January 2014, Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam led a rally with local officials at FedEx Forum applauding Global Conduit's decision to locate a call center in Memphis. Last June, the center opened, paying the majority of its workers about $10 an hour, with performance increases possible, plus full benefits, company officials said. The Tennessee Department of Economic and Community Development provided the company incentives worth $2 million, including reimbursements of as much as $1.25 million. For construction and telecommunications upgrades at the center in Goodlett Farms, just east of Memphis proper. The Memphis Area Transit Authority extended bus service for workers there. For those individual employees at Conduit Global, it's dark, and I understand that. The best world would be they could have kept these jobs, but we're going to hit the ground running and try to get them new jobs, said Memphis Mayor A.C. Wharton. Idling nearly 600 workers would be the area's single largest layoff since last June, when Harrah's Casino and Resort closed and laid off about 1,200 employees in Robinsonville, Mississippi, which is, of course, just across the state line. So that was the rest of the story, and now I turn it over to Keith for commentary.
Just across the state line from Memphis. And by the way, as I said, if you come from Astoria, Washington, Portland, Maine, Portland, Oregon, Rochester, Minnesota, you know, wherever in the great white north, you're not going to understand the hidden subtext, the subtext between all stories like this about economic activity in a place like Memphis. Memphis, as I've said before many times, longtime listeners of this show will recall, is the only major city in Tennessee that has a majority black population, 65%. As a result, we are always the problem child of Tennessee economically. We are the only part of the state that now, after the Obama presidency elicited a backlash and resulted in a super majority Republican dominated Tennessee legislature. Memphis is the only place that sends Democrats to Nashville to serve as legislators, and of course, they're all black. Now, why is this problem a racial problem? It's a racial problem because Memphis, because of its majority black population, has a disproportionately large number of adult blacks who work for the government, either the federal government, the state government, the county government, the city government, or some quasi-governmental entity like the TVA or the Corps of Engineers, something like that. Okay? And as a result of all of this, we have the highest taxes, property taxes and sales taxes, in the state of Tennessee. Now, in addition to those high taxes, they are so high that it not only is a burden on the productive citizens of Memphis and Shelby County who have to pay them, it is a disincentive for out-of-town companies to relocate to Memphis and Shelby County. In fact, they won't do it unless we have a guarantee in place for them saying that they will not have to pay our exorbitant property and sales taxes. It's called the pilot program, payment in lieu of taxes. And what it is, in essence, excuses these new companies from having to pay taxes, which just means burden on others that do not have the political clout to get a pilot for themselves, like normal residential homeowners in the city and county, or small businesses that are located here because that's where the people that founded them live. It just increases the burden on them. Well, Conduit came to Memphis under one of those sweetheart deals, promising all of these jobs, $10 an hour plus full benefits for people. And the workforce out there at Conduit was overwhelmingly black. One of the giveaways, one of the secret comments buried in that story that lets you know that, is that they extended the Memphis Area Transit Authority bus lines out to this locale, basically so it could cart black people, who overwhelmingly are the bus riders in Tennessee and in Memphis, to get to their jobs there. Now, they didn't tell you what was shown on the evening news when this layoff announcement occurred, and that was black people getting in their cars and speeding out of the parking lot in an angry huff, almost running over each other or causing wrecks in the parking lot because they were so enraged at losing their jobs or facing the prospect of layoffs. Now, Conduit, if you study this story closely, has locations all over the United States and the world. And they try to say that this layoff facing the Memphis plant is based on global conditions. Well, how come this is the only outlet of Conduit that is having these layoffs? Let me suggest it might have something to do with the overwhelmingly black workforce they have in Memphis, James. Just more of the same. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And diversity is not a strength, but a weakness, unfortunately. This shows it. We'll be back with more after these words from our sponsors.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Don't forget, folks, if you've not yet joined us in the online chat and virtual fan party tonight, you can rectify that problem immediately by going to cfcc.org. That's the Council of Conservative Citizens website, cfcc.org, or just go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and you can link over directly. You know, the show is only half over tonight, and we are still building up a full head of steam. So we've got another story in here that Keith has brought to mine and your attention. It's entitled, now this is from the Tri-State Defender. Now this newspaper is a little bit off the beaten path, even by newspaper standards. Remind them very quickly, Keith, what the Tri-State Defender is.
The Tri-State Defender is our local black weekly newspaper. A lot of urban centers like Memphis have a weekly black weekly newspaper, which is basically the alternative to the so-called white newspaper, which is more pro-black almost than the black newspaper. But the black newspaper has some more radical opinion pieces in it than the white politically correct version, and this is one of them.
Right, so you've got the daily fish wrap, the commercial appeal, which wrings its hand, and pretty much every article is about what more we can do as a society to placate blacks. And then you've got the black newspaper that does it as well.
Let's it all hang out, basically.
Global migration is about survival, so reads the headline in the Tri-State Defender. The recent deaths of more than 1,000 African refugees attempting to cross the Mediterranean Sea in order to get to Europe highlights an ongoing and growing global migration crisis. Contrary to commentators on the political right, both in the United States and Europe, what we are witnessing is not representative of a search for the good life, but undesirables from the global south. This is about survival, so says this story. Many people in Europe and North America have a strange attitude towards the entire question of immigration. It's as if there's been an epidemic of historic memory loss. Immigration from Africa, Asia, and Latin America to Europe and North America is treated in the mainstream outside of any context. Migrants are frequently referenced as being infiltrators. In the United States, migrants from the global south are demonized. In much of Europe, Islamophobic and anti-Arab racism is used against migrants from the Middle East and Central Central Asia, blaming them for economic decline and or suggesting that they, the migrants, lack the will and capacity to assimilate. I would say that is a very reasonable assumption. The desperation evidenced by the deaths of so many people attempting to cross the Mediterranean or closer to home, migrants crossing the Mexican border and dying in the deserts, is a direct outgrowth of two major factors. The first is represented by colonialism and neocolonialism. The second is represented by the impact of the global reorganization of capitalism, the liberal globalization, whatever that means. Migration patterns tend to be from the former colonies to the former colonizer, or from those countries that have historically been dominated by Europe or North America to the country that has been the historical dominator. People are leaving countries that were in some cases artificially created by the former colonizer or completely abandoned by the former colonizer when they were either forced to leave or when the colony no longer held value. In the second case, the impact of globalization on migration, all one has to do is look at Mexico to understand the problem. The passage of the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, resulted in the destruction of Mexican agriculture, the weakening of the public sector, and the resulting migration of Mexicans north to the United States in search of survival. It demonstrated factually that migration shot upwards when NAFTA was signed into law. Thus, it is highly ironic that so many people in Europe and North America blame the migrants for allegedly ruining destination countries. The story concludes here, finally, the migrants from the global south left their homelands due largely to the political, economic, and yes, military policies of Europe and North America. To put it another way, in order to address migration, one needs to push for European and North American governmental policies that address the devastation wrought by the global north over the last several hundred years. It's simple. You cannot ignore history. It has this odd way of coming up and biting you when and where you least expect it. So, Keith, what exactly is this malcontent trying to say in that screed?
Well, he's trying to say that it's all the fault of the white north. The north, as opposed to the global south, is a catchphrase for the white part of the world. The white countries of the world are the destination countries. If people would speak in racial terms rather than all of these surrogate terms, substitute terms, and whatnot, then we could understand them better. But basically, he's saying white people are responsible for the bad economic conditions in non-white countries that cause non-whites to seek to migrate to white countries, which, of course, is nothing but hogwash. Whenever white people are in charge, even in the global south, in places like the South Africa or the former Rhodesia, then those can be prosperous countries. When those countries transition to black rule and black leadership, then the countries go into an economic tailspin, and people are looking for some type of alternative. Now, globalization basically benefits non-white countries at the expense of the working classes and lower middle classes of white countries. And so, consequently, what his charge is totally false. What these countries are doing could be said to be an economic outreach to the non-white parts of the world. That's where all these jobs are being shipped. But they're not. There's no way that the truth of the matter is this. There's no way that these people from the non-white areas of the world are going to share a first world lifestyle unless they live in the proximity of a large number of white people. So, quite frankly, it's a very ominous prospect for them that white populations are diminishing in all the formerly white nations of the world, because without those white people, those nations are going to become more like the places that these migrants have fled. They will be majority non-white countries, and their prosperity will evaporate like the morning dew on the grass, James.
All right, do you want to transition into this story? You've been
talking about this one for about a month.
And you have 1 minute to cover it, and we can follow this up next week.
Okay, this is about Cynthia Lennon, the widow of John Lennon, I guess you would say, his first wife, married for 6 years from 62 to 68. And basically, we'll just set the plate for this, because this is something that both Courtney and Winston are going to get into, which is how the left has poisoned sexual relations between white couples and the whole institution of marriage and the effect it is having, and the courtship and married life and post-married life of Cynthia Lennon and her first husband, his first wife, John Lennon, is exhibit one in what is wrong and what the left has engineered. I don't think we really have enough time to get into it except to say that Cynthia Lennon basically was a sweet, nice girl who fell under the spell of a bad alpha male, okay? And there are good alpha males, but he is a guy that is, you know, as Lady Carolyn Lamb said of Lord Byron, mad, bad, and dangerous to know. We'll give you more details next week about this.
You know, this
but
was...
it basically, the worst day of her life was the day that she met John Lennon, because she suffered for the rest of her life through four other marriages, none of which were successful. Her heart belonged to Daddy throughout the whole process. No other man had a chance of having a satisfactory relationship with her. And she suffered emotionally, financially, and in every other way because she flitted towards this alpha male like a moth to a flame.
I guess the greatest thing that would have come from their union is the song Hey Jude, which Paul McCartney wrote as a dedication to their son Julian. He changed the name from Julian to Jude for that song.
And the reason you have the song Hey Jude is because Julian was so distraught and emotionally scarred from his parents' divorce.
But I guess if we hadn't had the divorce, we wouldn't have had that great song. So, I mean, all kidding aside.
Well, when you think of the human carnage, I think
right,
we could have
done
that song.
I'm being facetious, but it is a good song. And anyway, so Keith's setting the stage for that. I want to thank him for his contributions tonight, and we'll follow up on that next week. We've been wanting to cover it for a month, but we can't keep the riots down long enough to cover what we want to cover.
To get a...
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us. TheAmericanFreedomParty.us. Once again, TheAmericanFreedomParty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, the show rolls on, and this is where we begin to infuse a little bit of something different into the broadcast this week. Again, forthcoming still in the third hour, you're going to hear from Nathaniel Kapner via videotape. And then Kevin McDonald live on the airwaves. But first, we turn it over now to Political Cesspool co-host Winston Smith. Say hello, Winston.
Hello, Winston.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't been pulled by. I haven't heard that gag in a while. And then, of course, Courtney from Alabama. And so I really don't know. I mean, I know to an extent because she sent me an email what's going to be going on. But I'm basically just going to turn it over to the two of you to have your way with the airwaves as you would see fit. So, Winston, it's in your hands to bring Courtney on and take it away.
Thank you. Thank you very much, James. Folks, just to let you know, from Alabama is actually Courtney's last name. That's on her birth certificate. Courtney from Alabama. It's one word, from Alabama. So just make sure you know that. And I've asked her to be on tonight because several weeks ago I was on with our good friend Ken Daly, Daly Ken, you know, from he's on right after us. And before I started talking to Ken, I had to get something off my chest. And when it was done, it kind of resonated with Courtney. And she contacted me recently and wanted to know if we could kind of explore it a little further on the air. And the topic was some of the ill treatment that I've noticed on some of the forums and websites from men who are supposedly in the movement, white nationalists or racially conscious or whatever. And they really treat white women in a very bad way. It grieves me to no extent. Some of the insults, some of the disdain, some of the out and out contempt with which some people treat white nationalist women. And I realize out in the forums, some of these people could be trolls, but I know for a fact that some of them are not because I know them personally. And I have had very heated exchanges with them. I remain friends with them, but this is one area that I simply will not back down on. And that is the way men treat women, especially the way white men treat white women. As I said, they have subjected our sisters to the vilest sort of rhetorical degradation. And it's something that I simply cannot let go unchallenged. Courtney, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. First of all, there's one thing I really have to ask you. What are you wearing?
I'm just wearing wearing a regular t-shirt and shorts, completely PG rated, nothing.
Where did that? I have to hop on to ask where that came from. Winston, back to the topic.
Sorry, James, good resistance. Excuse me. All right, you've heard me describe what I've noticed on the forums and websites and even in person. Have you experienced anything like that?
Well, yeah, I've been noticing it for a while, and, you know, so have many other women as well as some men. As you said, I think a lot of them are trolls, and I do think the Internet has a tendency to attract these types of people. I know it's not most men in the movement, but before and I kind of have some thoughts on that, like in relation to, you know, the state of relationships between white men and women, and hopefully have some positive, you know, can shed some positive light on that topic. Before getting started and in relation to tonight's topic, I have a special announcement to make.
lay it upon us.
Okay. Well, I'm getting married later on in the year, and I think it's just the, you know, the biggest honor, probably the biggest honor a white woman can take on is getting married and answering to a husband and having children with him, a good, you know, Christian, solid white man. So,
hey, and I want to just say on behalf of our entire staff and audience, a very heartfelt and sincere congratulations, Courtney. Nobody deserves it more than you. I know you've been waiting for that, and I'm glad that in the Lord's infinite wisdom and timing, he has brought it to you, and I'm very, very happy for you.
Thank you so much, James. I really appreciate that. And in relation to what Winston is talking about, and, you know, I'm going to tie it into my topic, relationships, and I just wanted to give some helpful advice, hopefully, for those still looking for mates out there and just let them know it's not as dismal as it may seem for a lot of them. And as James has seen in my email, I have a lot of information here, so I don't know how Winston wants to handle this, but I'll toss it back over to him and then hopefully dive into my topic after that, I guess.
Okay. Well, first, let me say congratulations as well. This is something for which I've been hoping for you for a very long time. And I just know you're going to make a superb wife, and your fiancé is a very blessed man. And I wish you all the best. And I look forward to announcing the impending arrival of your first child. So
thank you. I appreciate that. And just so the audience knows, I'm not that old. I'm, you know, late 20s, early 30s. Not that old, but I've been in the movement since I was practically a teen, so that's why it's taken so long, I guess. So, but anyways, do you want me to dive into my topic, or did you want to say something else?
Well, let me ask you another question.
Sure.
In addition to the women from whom you've heard about the abuse that some white women have taken from supposedly white, racially conscious men, have any other men ever contacted you and offered you some sort of explanation or some sort of apology to the effect of, you know, not all white men are like this, et cetera?
Oh yeah, I think most men in the movement are good men, and I think you run into them at conferences and see them in person. I do think the internet tends to bring out the worst in people, and I don't think it's reflective of most men in the movement. Most men that I've met at conferences are perfect gentlemen, and yes, I've met friends at conferences, male friends who have given me advice, on how to, you know, view the comments and. But it's definitely a problem. I've noticed other people raise concern over it, including Don Black. I mean, he's gotten upset over this problem, as, you know, other women have, and some men have. So it's definitely an issue, but I don't think it reflects most of the men in the movement. But, in relation to that, I've noticed that we just have a tendency to, I think the root of the problem is in our circles, we have a tendency to sometimes exaggerate how bad the state of our race is. And, you know, it's easy to get depressed. And this can be just as destructive as, you know, overlooking the problems and acting as if everything is okay. There is a tendency in our circles to repeat things over and over again that represent the worst case scenario. And we sometimes do this to get points across and drive them home and to sensationalize things a little bit. But I think it can be especially destructive when discussing the relationship between the men and women of our race and encouraging them to get married and produce children. I just want to say real quickly before turning it back over to you, on one hand, I recognize how our people have a current male-female problem, and, you know, there's laws that are skewed towards women, and that's something we need to fix and talk about. It's important, but on the other hand, I noticed how in our circles we have a tendency to go too far in the opposite direction and kind of exaggerate how bad that situation is a little too much. And I even see some in our circles encouraging white men to avoid marriage altogether. And, marriage is a union that is holy and precious in the eyes of God. And I just noticed that the differences between how white men and women think in both political and racial terms gets exaggerated, miscegenation rates get exaggerated, the dismal future of our reproductive rates get exaggerated. Hopefully I can shed light on a few of those points. I think I've even seen, you know, I'm not an expert on this, but I'm just offering a contrasting view to what gets repeated in this movement. But I've seen the current divorce rate get disputed on many articles on the internet, that it's not quite as high, the 50% rate isn't quite accurate, that it's almost impossible to measure because, you know, we don't know if these are people, the same people getting divorced over and over again that account for the 50% divorce rate, or if it's most people in our society. It's hard to measure, and I've seen some articles stating that it's on, you know, the divorce rate might be on the decline now that we're moving out of the baby boomer generation. But, you know, that's just a thought. I'm not an expert on that. But I'm going to turn it back over to you.
And we will turn it right over to our true master, the time clock. And the time clock says it's time for a break, so therefore we go to break, and we'll be back with more discussion on the traditional roles of gender and male and female relations in the current age for us conservatives when Winston Smith and Courtney from Alabama return on the Political Cesspool.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
A couple of weeks ago, we began putting together the idea of having Courtney and Winston on to discuss this vitally important topic, but as a result of a busy programming schedule, this was the soonest we could work it into the mix. But, you know, I was very intrigued when it was first presented to me, because this is a vitally important topic. The way that we treat one another, the way that men treat women, husband treats wives, and vice versa. And I would like to recommend, before turning it back over to Winston and Courtney, because this is their you know, bailiwick to run right now, but there is a book that I would recommend that has the definitive advice on how men and women should treat one another, how husband and wives should treat one another. And it's called the Bible. And it's literally littered throughout the entire book, Old Testament and New. It breaks down the proper role of man and woman and of the genders, Ephesians, 1 Timothy, 1 Corinthians, 1 Peter, Proverbs, all throughout you can find. And if everybody would apply that, you know, we wouldn't have to be having this conversation. So I just like to work that in there. But I'm going to remain silent, this is as difficult as it is for me, for the remainder of the segment, and let Winston and Courtney really sink their teeth into this, because this is something that I know they were very motivated to present to the audience. So Winston, back to you.
Thanks, James. And I agree with everything you said there. I would add only that a lot of the men that I know who behave as I've described, they are indeed Christians. And one thing that I try to remind them is that that these Christian women, these women they are denigrating and disdaining, are many of them are Christians. Most of them are Christians, and they are spiritual sisters to myself and to these men who are denigrating them. And the Bible gives us very very stern and unquestionable commands and guidance as to how we are to treat our brothers and sisters. And I call them out on it and tell them, frankly, they are in sin in this area and they need to repent of it. If you're treating your sisters in a rude or crass way or a sinful way, you need to repent of it, and you need to examine your heart and straighten things out between your God and between your sisters. All right. Courtney from Alabama. Here's that last name again. That's a great last name. Courtney from Alabama. I can say it all day. Anyhow, Courtney, in addition to the name calling and the fault finding based on generalizations that some white men apply to white women, excuse me, got something in my throat. In addition to that, there's another way in which they insult white women, and that is by turning their attention towards women of other races, namely Asians. And it's something that I've noticed, and a lot of people simply call it yellow fever, how white men will find virtue in miscegenation with Asian women. Have you noticed that?
Well, you keep saying white men, but I want the audience to understand that we're not talking about white men in general. We're talking about the one, a lot of the ones that post on the internet in our movement. And I think in general the miscegenation stuff gets exaggerated. I think both sexes in our race do it at a very small rate. But I do see among these comments that you're talking about, you know, I do see a problem where, you know, white women, you know, are attacked for mating with black men as they should be attacked for that. But then, you know, I see excuses made for the white men hooking up with Asian women. And, you know, in continuation of what I was discussing, you know, about relationships and stuff, I just want to quickly go through the bulk of what I was going to talk about as quickly as possible, turn it back over to you, and then I'm going to make some positive closing remarks and everything. But I'm just going to go through this as quickly as possible. But in relation to...
A lot of thought, haven't you?
I'm sorry?
You've given this show a lot of thought, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Mostly, you know, I want to try to turn it into a positive direction, though, and hopefully give people in the audience hope who are upset about the situation. And there is a lot to be upset about. But first of all, for the people of our race who are still single, I notice there's a tendency to, you know, be way too picky when searching for a mate. And also, there's a tendency to blame the opposite sex entirely, taking no responsibility whatsoever as to why they're still single. And I see this constantly in both white men and women in our modern age. And I believe it stems from our people becoming too materialistic, selfish, and lazy, and recent decades. And to the single men and women in this movement who are still looking, based on experience, it is currently a bit unrealistic to expect your future partner to think exactly as you do on race and to expect them to join the movement with you. And this goes the same for both white men and women. I mean, it's equally hard for both racially conscious white men and women because most white people in our country are not openly defending their race, even if they're aware under the surface. And I've noticed there's a tendency to claim in our circles and in these internet discussions that white men searching for mates are helpless because most of them, most white men are racially conscious, while most women, white women, tend to lean liberal. And, not only have I failed to find any facts supporting this, but I don't see how that scenario would even be possible in any society. I mean, for one, I've never seen that scenario historically. Men and women of any group tend to keep each other in check constantly, never allowing the opposite sex to stray too far from the plantation.
Excuse for a moment, please.
Sure.
Gordon?
Yes, sure.
Can you speak just a little slower, please?
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get through this, but sure, I'll slow down. I'm sorry. The reasons for this are biological. Men and women are constantly seeking the opposite sex approval. So I can't think of any group of whites around the world where there is any huge polarity between men and women on major issues. I mean, there's natural differences between the sexes, obviously. Men think more rationally, women think more emotionally. But when it comes to major issues like immigration, I don't really see much of a difference from one white community to or within one white community, comparing it to another community. I mean, you can look at the most conservative communities of the white world, like Mormons and the Amish and Eastern Europeans. And I do not see the women rebelling against their men in those circles. And it's because there's a healthy conservative culture. But in red state America, you kind of see something similar where white women vote very similar to white men. And then the other extreme is blue state America and countries like Sweden, where you see the most vile form of white female behavior. But you also notice liberal behavior from the men who are kind of going along with that behavior. And plus the culture in general is liberal. And in regards to our movement, I just want to quickly say before turning it back over to you that the reason it's dominated by men is because men are more likely than women to be risk takers. And it's going to be the job of white men in our country, parts of Western Europe and Canada, to make our views mainstream. And once it becomes mainstream, the women will naturally follow. So hopefully, that gives some insight for the men that are looking for mates in the audience. But I'm going to turn it back over to you now.
Okay. Well, you've certainly taken a broader view, at least tonight, than I have. My concern is, as a man, the way my brothers are treating my sisters, and it's something that I just don't abide. I get very defensive. Maybe it's just because I'm just a sucker for the damsel in distress or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm too chivalrous for my own good. But it just galls me to see men that I would otherwise respect and with whom I would otherwise enjoy fellowship taking this tack, if you will, of treating our own women, our own sisters, the way our enemies treat sisters and our own women in the movement. There are some white men, and I realize that I've spoken in some pretty broad terms myself, but it just galls me to see the way that some white men treat white women. And it's not even women that they know well. They just know they're a white woman, and therefore they're somehow inferior. And maybe they take the traditional role model, the traditional role what am I trying to say? They're trying to take the traditional roles to an extreme, and they think that there is a qualitative difference between men and women. And there might be a qualitative difference, but it's not it's not based upon superiority or inferiority. Yes, men are the heads of the house, but that is not based on some kind of superiority, moral or spiritual. It's based upon responsibility. And I think if more men would realize that the reason we are in this mess that we are in is because men have been irresponsible. and we have squandered what has been given to us in trust. That is our headship of our families and ownership of our land. What do you think of that?
And Courtney, we'll let this serve as a final word from you, Courtney, because we're running out of time, but I would invite both of you to take a victory lap in the chat room after this and enjoy the third hour with the fans. But yes, indeed, Courtney, final word to you.
Okay, yeah, men are the head of the household. They're more capable both mentally and physically than women are. And so to an extent, I do think overall from a civilizational perspective, they do need to take more of the blame for what's happened overall. Being the more capable sex, you know, creating so many amazing things as white men, I'm in awe over. But I quickly want to say in regards to searching for a mate, I myself have found my perfect match, and it may mean that I have to sacrifice a few things. I might have to sacrifice going to conferences as much as I want to, calling in a TPC as often as I do. My fiance is slightly aware under the surface.
Courtney, we got to take a break.